Hi, everyone. Attorney Jerry Bosch here with Bosch Law Firm and WorkCompExperts.com. For almost 30 years, we've represented Minnesotans just like you, from border to border and all over the great state of Minnesota, to ensure they're treated fairly and with respect when they've suffered a work-related injury. A work injury can change your life in an instant. Wage loss, medical bills, job insecurity, and the stress of trying to navigate a complicated work comp system on your own. You need someone in your corner who can help you focus on getting back on your feet and getting paid while you do. To make sure you're being paid all available work comp benefits for your injury, please call the attorneys at Bosch Law Firm anytime. The call is always free and there's never a fee unless we recover benefits on your behalf. Call 651-333-8300 or visit us at WorkCompExperts.com.
Thanks a lot for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on the show, Steve. It should be a good one.
Thanks for having me, Steven.
Double X, anytime, man.
Christopher Mando Russo here. You are listening to Steven Strom on TalkNorth.com.
Always passionate, always fiery. You're listening to the Strom Sports Show. Take it away, Steven.
Yes, you are, and it's great to have you in here, Strom Sports Show. Episode 135 on the great TalkNorth.com. Steven Strom here at SSTROM underscore on Twitter. A lot to get into today. College basketball will be the main focus with our guest today, Zach Braziller. He is a college sports reporter for the New York Post. He will join us in just a few here, talk a little bit about the bubble teams, including Minnesota. We will also get you ready here. We're going to start filling out brackets. We'll get you prepared, get you educated on who to pick, who to fade, who's getting hot at the right time. So excited to have Zach on in just a bit here. We have a lot of local stories to get into. The Wild, they've won four in a row. They're 10-6 all of a sudden. That's the good news of this. The bad news in Minnesota sports is that the Twins announced that Royce Lewis will undergo surgery for a torn right ACL. It could be 9 to 12 months before he returns to full play. 21-year-old last year hit .236. with 12 home runs and 49 RBIs across minor league levels in 2019. He also hit .353 with 20 RBIs over 22 Arizona Fall League games in the same season. So for the Twins, it's good that they picked up Simmons in a trade. We know that Royce will be the future of the Twins, but for now, just an unfortunate injury for him as we sort of segue into the two topics that we're going to tackle today. And they aren't Minnesota sports. They aren't local. They are national. And I wanted to address a couple of things, and we'll start here with Kevin Mather, who is the former now CEO of the Seattle Mariners. And you probably heard this story this week about how Seattle parted ways with Mather. And I wanted to just get into some of the comments that he made and why he was fired. And it just seems like some of these guys just cannot learn on what to say and when to say it. And not to say certain things. And in this case, you had Kevin Mather come on and basically say that his international players and their ability to speak English was really upsetting him. And he wanted them to speak English and, wanted them to speak better English and was saying players' names that really weren't on the roster. One time he said Torres and he didn't have a Torres. It was completely pronounced a different way. So basically, Kevin Mather goes on a Zoom call or an interview where this is going to be surfaced on the internet. And we know in 2021, everything that you say, it doesn't matter if you're on ESPN. It doesn't matter if you're on a podcast in a basement. You know that audio, especially with a person of power, it's going to get out. And you have to be careful about what you say. And it seems like time in and time out, we don't learn this as a society. And Kevin Mather falls victim to this. He comes on here and he's upset and he's annoyed that he has to pay a translator $75,000, which really, I mean, are we really fighting over $75,000 in a $1 million franchise in a $1 billion industry? Are we really fighting over that? So Mather comes on and says, well, I'm ticked off. You know, these guys from Dominican Republic and these different countries, they come here and they don't speak really good English and we have to have a translator, basically yammering that he's got to have a translator for some of these guys. And what blows my mind is not only is it culturally insensitive, I mean, your two best players of your franchise, Felix Hernandez and Ichiro, those are two guys that needed translators that didn't have English as a luxury to learn as their first language. English is the hardest language to learn, according to a lot of people that I talk to. I think it's pretty well known that it's one of the hardest. I've got two best friends. Their mothers are immigrants. They tell me how hard it is to learn the English language. How are you going to come on here in a sport that I think, now the majority of it is a white sport, but you know that there is a lot of different players from different countries in baseball. How you can say this in the climate specifically is just absolutely outrageous to me. I want to see, and I have tried to learn Spanish. I don't care if it's Rosetta Stone. I don't care if it's a one-year college course. I took Spanish. I went to Argentina last year. I took it for 8 months. I still could only play. I only could say five sentences. It's not an easy language to learn, okay? It's not easy to learn a foreign language, whether you're coming from Venezuela, from Europe, from Spain, like wherever you're coming from. If English isn't your first language, it's hard. And vice versa. If Kevin Mather were to go to the Dominican Republic and say, all right, let's have you start speaking Spanish, start communicating, man, he would have no idea. So I think some of these comments, man, and deservingly so, you got to know your climate. You got to know your role. You got to know what you're saying. You got to show empathy. And that's why it's deservingly so that Kevin Mather was dismissed. And before we move on, I want to give a little comparison here. Kevin Mather should take a page out of Mark Cuban's book. And I don't agree with everything Mark Cuban does. Don't get me twisted here. But the rationale is that players on Dallas will run through a wall for Cuban. Cuban has emotional intelligence. He understands that he is the minority in a black sport. He understands that sometimes he won't understand why players. But I don't think there's any other owner in sports that is beloved than went out and he the streets homeless and put him into rehab and stays in touch. He used to play for the Mavs. He is all in for his players. And again, I don't agree with everything Mark Cuban does, but you just take one for the other. Kevin Mather to Mark Cuban, I mean, it's not even the same stratosphere. He can learn from Mark Cuban. I get that you sometimes have certain frustrations. I have them. You have them. Everyone has them. But I'm not going to go and talk on a podcast if I don't like my boss or if I don't like my employee. Or you can't do that kind of stuff. I mean, it's just a written rule. And if you're a person of power, a CEO of the Seattle Mariners, to go out and to say, oh, man, I'm ticked off that I got to pay these translators. They need to speak better English. Come on, man. You got to be better than that. You got to be better than that. And it's no surprise that he was dismissed of his duties. Let's switch to this. Tiger Woods, headline news a couple days ago. And it's crazy because this documentary came out. I was all in on it. HBO Max, it's a two-part series. I sat and watched it with my girlfriend. It was phenomenal. You sit there and you don't know how to feel. You don't know. You see this rise of an athlete. You see the downfall of a human. And then this rise again. And there's so many feelings you have towards Tiger, towards Earl, towards the cheating, towards, I mean, just everything. It's a whirlwind of emotions watching that thing. And a couple days ago, Tiger Woods was involved in a single car accident. And everything obviously goes through your mind. Number one, is he alive? Number two, was he impaired? Number three, 7 a.m? There's so many things that enter your mind, right? And I thought personally two things that I read was telling. One, that it was a single car crash because, hey, must have been on his own. He didn't hit anyone. And number two, it's at 7 a.m. And unless he's working out, we usually assume the worst, right? Alcohol, drunk, drugs, the back. That's kind of the way that we start thinking as a society. And I think we have the right to think that way after what happened in 2009 when he crashed his car in Jupiter. But we did figure out that the officers of the scene came out and said that he was not impaired. And Jim Suhan wrote an incredible article. And I don't usually bring up his articles because he is my boss. But boy, do I respect the hell out of him. He's an unbelievable reporter, journalist, columnist, whatever you want to call him, just a great sports mind. He wrote an article I thought that was so perfect. It captured everything. At first, we're all about, oh, well, Tiger, when is he going to win his 15th major, 16th? Is he going to tie Jack, you know, after he won that Masters? And then we kind of realize as time goes on, that was an anomaly. That was a special sports moment. At his age and where he's come from with the back surgeries, with the way the players are transitioning, you did not think that was going to happen. He gave us that special moment. And I think in a lot of people's Tiger's minds that were biased and love Tiger, oh, he's going to get Jack now. But the reality situation was that's not going to happen again. And it certainly doesn't look like it's going to happen ever again. In terms of let alone winning a tournament, how about walking, right? Like, it's going to be a while for this guy to walk, let alone swing a golf club. So I thought Jim wrote a great article about how all of a sudden when someone gets into an accident like this, it doesn't matter. Playing golf doesn't matter. It's most important that this man is okay. Can you imagine if we would have lost Tiger Woods in this? We already lost Kobe last year. If we lose Tiger Woods, I mean, where's the sport? Where does the world turn? I can't imagine. And I am a huge Tiger Woods guy. I'm a bigger Tiger Woods guy than Kobe Bryant guy. I read the book. I watched the documentaries. When you become a fan of someone, you feel like you are close to them. Like, if you were to run into them on the street, you'd be able to have a conversation with them. You know everything about their life. You become immersed in everything that they've done, accomplished, sometimes failed at. But the more important takeaway from this Tiger Woods thing is that he's okay. And now he needs to spend time with his family. He needs to get right. Golf should be an afterthought right now. So for the people out there that are saying, what are we going to see? Don't worry about that, man. You cannot worry about that. My takeaway from this is thank God he wore a seatbelt. Hopefully it's confirmed that he was not impaired. And hopefully, nothing behind the scenes happened on why this may have occurred. Because we still have to wait on that. But most importantly should be Tiger Woods is alive, he's okay, and he can spend time with his family. Because if we lost Tiger Woods, it was brutal with Kobe Bryant. I can't imagine if we would have lost Kobe Bryant and Tiger Woods in a two-year span, man, I don't know how this place would react. So I am grateful. I don't care if I see Tiger Woods swing one more club and hit one more ball in my entire life. The fact that I know that he is okay is the most important thing to me. It's a weird transition, but Zach Braziller, he will join us in just a sec here. But you know, in support for the Strom Sports Show is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision engineer tools for your family jewels. They obsess over their technology development to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code STROM, STROM, at Manscaped. That's 20% off with free shipping at Manscaped. And use the code STROM, STROM. Zach Braziller. All right, Zach Braziller. He is a college sports reporter for the New York Post at NYPost_Brazil. It's a pleasure to have him on. I've read his articles. I've followed him for the last couple of years, being an avid college basketball guy. Zach, Steven Strom here. How is everything? Thank you very much for giving us some time today.
Hey, my pleasure, man. Thanks for having me. How are you?
I'm good. I'm very excited. These next couple of weeks, it's starting to really heat up. We have Selection Sunday in just a matter of weeks. And we promise we're going to get into the NCAA tournament, bubble teams, and everything you need to know for the tournament in March. But I first want to start here, Zach. Where do you think the state of college basketball is at right now? Now, obviously, there's certain players opting out because of COVID, but there's other ones before COVID that are going overseas, that are doing these internship programs for the G League. Where do you think the state of college basketball is at right now?
You know, the G League team is very interesting. And, you know, it's definitely something that I think a lot of people are following. Because like you said, you have Kuminga and Jalen Green who would be two of the top five players of the sport this year if they were, playing college basketball, and they're doing the G League Ignite team.
Yep.
And look, the NBA is pushing that hard. I get emails about that every day, you know, G League access, you know, G League team access. And you know, and I think a lot of people are following that team. You know, it's really, it could determine top guys, what they do in the years to come. But I think when you look at the sport and you look at even the recent history, yeah, look, people love the fantastic freshmen. There's no question. But what we've seen in recent years, even when these top freshmen are playing, is experience wins. And, you know, I mean, look at Baylor. Look at, you know, I know Gonzaga has Jalen Suggs, but he's obviously not the whole team. They have a bunch of other good players. Look at Michigan.
Yep.
You know, I think while maybe you don't have the elite player, that doesn't mean it's not going to be a high level of basketball. And, you know, maybe the top high school kid isn't going to go to college. And that might not be the worst thing in the world, that you're not going to have these kids just basically, you know, go to a college for 4 months and be out. That you're going to have guys who are more invested and, you know, you have better teams and not maybe better talent. So I don't think it's going to irreparably damage the sport. You know, maybe the talent level goes down a little, but I don't think all of a sudden you're going to be seeing 15 to 20 kids. You might see the top kids every year now go to this G League thing. But I don't think it's going to be all of a sudden where you're having 10 to 15 guys go.
Good.
You know, I do know a lot of people in the NBA really don't quite understand why the NBA is all of a sudden putting all this money into this G League team. We'll see how long it lasts. But I definitely think it is something to monitor.
All right, let's get into the NCAA tournament and certain bubble teams. We'll start here. My listeners know I'm from Jersey, you know, real close to New York. You are a writer for the New York Post. So I guess I'll touch up on the Johnnies. A couple of my boys like the Johnnies as well. They are 14-10 right now. They had an absolutely awful loss at home to DePaul, obviously, and then lost to Villanova by double digits. Where do you have St. John's right now? 14-10, 8-9. I know you're an optimistic Johnnies guy, but where do you have St. John's right now in your quote-unquote Zach bracketology, and what do they need to improve and get in here?
Yeah, I think they basically have to go to the Big East tournament title game, if not win it, to get in the tournament. They have three now bad losses with, you know, at Georgetown. Actually, at Georgetown's not a bad loss now. It's the at Butler, home for Marquette, and
DePaul.
You know, home for DePaul. They don't have enough good wins to offset those. I think they're an NIT team. It's what I predicted at the beginning of the year. You know, I was after that DePaul game, I was kind of looking back at some stuff I wrote, and I actually wrote that, you know, I think this team will be somewhat in the bubble mix, but eventually, you know, in the end, will be an NIT team. And I think that's what it is. And I St. John's fans are very disappointed by the DePaul loss and how this season has kind of looks like it's headed. But I don't, for them, I don't think it's a bad year. You know, they were picked ninth. They still have a chance to finish fifth if they can win their last two home games, which are winnable home games. You know, I think it's been a productive season for them. I really do. And I think they can be really, really good next year. Yep. But as for the NCAA tournament, I don't see it barring a huge run in the Big East tournament.
Yeah, and I like Anderson. I think you're right. I think they shouldn't look at this. And this is what happens just with team expectations. You know, you're picked eighth, and now all of a sudden you're 14-10. You have a couple nice wins, and all those expectations go out the window because you exceeded them, and now you want to make the NCAA tournament. But I think it's the right way to look at it if you're a St. John's fan, to look at the totality of where Anderson and you're growing in a program. So I would agree with that as well. Minnesota-based podcast. So I did have some questions about the Gophers. Sure. They've got a couple hell of a wins with Michigan and Iowa and Ohio State. Where do you have Minnesota right now? They are so up and down. And unfortunately for this podcast, tonight they play Northwestern. The Gophers are 14-10, 7-10 in Big Ten play. Where do you have Minnesota right now?
I think they need to win a minimum one game away from home, if not two. You know, no at-large team has ever gotten in without a road win. You know, I wrote about it in my weekly column this week. Their resume is so bizarre.
It's so bizarre.
They have some fantastic wins, but they can't win a road game. They just came off getting annihilated by Illinois. I think they want to make the tournament. They need at least one road win and then at least one win in the Big Ten tournament, because that would obviously be a neutral site. Get me two wins away from your building, and I think they have a decent shot. But right now, I mean, they don't have one. They kind of find, you know, like people said, well, home court advantage doesn't really matter this year because limited or no fans, which I think is absurd.
It's absurd. Because
still, you look at the winning percentage, it might not be as high as last year, the year before, but teams are still winning more at home than on the road. At the NCAA tournament, you're not playing home games. You're going to be at neutral sites in Indianapolis. So I don't understand this idea that, you know, the home a road thing shouldn't be factored in this year. Of course it should be, you know. So, but I, you know, look, Minnesota has ability. They've had some rough injury stuff now. They're clearly talented. I think they definitely need to win that Rutgers game at home the end of the year. Right now, that would be a quad one win.
Yep.
You know, and I think they need to at least get two wins away from home. That doesn't mean they have to win both road games, but it means they have to win at least one of the Big Ten.
And at Nebraska, at Penn State. Listen, Penn State, they're in every game. Nebraska, no excuse. You got to go beat Nebraska. There's no question about it. Nebraska is 5-16. You got to go beat them on the road. And it's funny that you answered that, because I was wondering, like, a bunch of people that I work with were like, has the team ever made an at-large bid without winning a road game? And you just answered that question. And
yeah, they haven't.
They have to go on the road and win. Let's stick in the Big Ten, though. This conference, I mean, you don't even know what to say. They are just absolutely stacked. Are you taking a team from the Big Ten to win a national title, or are you taking the field at this point? Like, where are you at with the Big Ten as a whole?
Yeah, I really like the top half of the league. I think the bottom half is a bit overrated. You know, obviously you have teams like the bottom, Nebraska, and, you know, Northwestern. I know Michigan State's played better lately, but I'm still not buying them. Indiana's a mess. We saw what happened last night. They completely crumbled at Rutgers after having a big early lead. You know, they're looking like an NIT team at best. Minnesota's had their issues away from their building. But I do love the top half. I mean, I think Illinois is terrific. Obviously, Michigan's terrific. Ohio State, Iowa, Purdue, even Maryland's played really well of late. Yep. I would probably still go the field just because of how good Gonzaga and Baylor are. But a team from the league could obviously win a national title. I think Michigan is tremendous. I think Michigan's the third best team in the country. I think they're on their, you know, after Gonzaga and Baylor, I don't know if there's a team as good as Michigan.
Okay.
You know, I was so impressed by that game against Ohio State. Oh, that was one of the best games I've seen all year. I think the league is really good. Now, I don't think its depth is as good as people thought. I remember there was some talk they could get 10, 11 teams in the tournament. I think we're probably looking at 8 or 9 at the most. But I could see, you know, I could see multiple Final Four teams. I could see like 3 or 4 Elite Eight teams. You know, I think, and I also think one thing that happens in conference play as we get to this point is teams are just so knowledgeable about each other that it makes it tough. So once you get out of conference play in the tournament, it will change things. You know, Illinois, you know, might have an easier time with a team more talented than some of the teams that are playing the Big Ten, just because those teams, you know, don't know what they're going to do. They haven't played them multiple times.
Yeah.
You know, that stuff in the past with really good years of the Big East, you see, is when these teams get out of conference, it changes things.
A couple more left here with Zach Braziller, college sports reporter for the New York Post. Give us your tier one teams. I know you talked about Michigan, Gonzaga, Baylor. Is there anyone else you want to add to that tier one? And how much of a drop off is there from tier one to tier two, in your opinion?
Well, I would go tier one. I still think Gonzaga and Baylor. Then I'd go Michigan.
Okay, so, wow.
Yeah. Then I think there are some others. I think, you know, I go Illinois. I'd probably go Ohio State. I think I might go Iowa. One team that is really starting to play well again early in the year, I loved them. Then they went through a long drought, and now they're playing really well again, is Creighton. They are a terrific – they are as good of an offense team as there is in the country. They're better defensively than they usually are. They have size. They have depth. they're starting to play really well.
Love again. That team.
They crushed Villanova, and they're going to be a team that probably, because they have a few really bad losses, so they're probably not going to be more than a 4 or 5 seed, but they're a team that's going to be really dangerous, especially if they keep playing the way they've been playing lately. I'm a big believer in Creighton now that their point guard Marcus Zagorowski is really starting to play well. I'm a big believer in them. I'm not a big believer in Villanova. I know they've been okay lately. They killed St. John's and they beat UConn, but I just think they're a very limited team athletically, and they're not very good in the paint. Not overly high on them. And then I think another team is USC. USC is very good. Evan Mobley might be the most talented player in the country. I really think USC has a chance. I get it. The Pac-12 is a very mediocre league, probably the worst power conference league in the country.
Yeah.
But I do like USC. They have a ton of talent. But yeah, I do think though, once you get past all these teams, maybe about 8 or 9, I think it's just so balanced. So I think that first weekend could be full of upsets.
Love the Creighton pick. That has been my team. I've loved that team. And last year I was definitely going to ride high with them, but they're another one, like you said, like they look really good at times. And then they went through a long spurt where they didn't. And now they're starting to heat up. It's almost like I don't want them to heat up because then people are going to jump on the bandwagon. Like, 5 guys that can score in double digits. I mean, this team, Ballack, Jefferson, Zagorowski, Mahal, like I love that team and I love their head coach as well. So I think that's a really good call on your part. Last one for you, Zach, is the National Player of the Year done for you? Is it Luka? Where are you at with the National Player of the Year?
Yeah, he's just been too consistent. I just don't see another guy. I know Dosunmu's had a really good year, and Suggs has been very good. And I think Luka is going to win it. I can't see it. He's been the favorite all year. He's done nothing to really change anyone's opinion about that. I can't see it changing.
Zach, I really appreciate it, man. Always welcome to come back on. Really good spot at NYPost_Brazil on Twitter. Keep up the great work. If I don't talk to you, enjoy March Madness. And again, man, I really appreciate you carving out time for me.
All right, man. My pleasure.
Zach Braziller of the New York Post. Again, follow him on Twitter. Make sure to check out his articles. As always, thank you guys for listening. Unfortunately, with the Northwestern Minnesota game, I wasn't able to give reaction. I have no idea what happened last night. I hope they won. I think that they need, like Zach said, to win at least one road game, if that's Nebraska, if that's Penn State. I think they just need to win one here. Let's get to 15, 16 wins, win one in the Big Ten tournament, and I think we're off and racing into March. But again, rate, subscribe, review, Apple Podcast. It helps me. It helps the network. I really appreciate everyone for listening today, and I'll talk to you next Friday here on the Strom Sports Show. TalkNorth.com.